In the shadow of our apple tree, looking out across a river at a city full of glass and whispers, I take my dad's hand and watch our enemy fly towards us. The black dot of an enemy which is getting closer all the time, leaving premium far behind as it slices over the water, the blades whirring, whoop, whoop, in the air above. The sun is setting beyond the dark towers, and the sky has gone the colour tangerines used to be, the last rays of orange light bouncing off the flying dot. The dot that is now no longer a dot, but a large flying metal machine. A helicopter. A purple helicopter with a large F painted on the side. And that's all you need to know for now. Although I should tell you where we are as well. The apple tree we stand under is in Dad's garden, behind our house in the cul-de-sac. No one's been out here for 6 years, and everything is overgrown and tangled. Dad grips my hand tight, which is his way of telling me not to worry, like that's an easy thing to do when there's nowhere to run. On my other side is a girl holding a large toad in her arms. The girl from the deserted house in the north, who cured me when I was ill, who saved my life once already. She turns her tousled head up at the sky, twigs trapped in her hair, shivering in her t-shirt. Polly, my best ever friend. And standing behind us, my other friends, the ones I can talk to. The great stag, his ears trembling. A wolf cub, his side still all bandaged up. And a harvest mouse on his back, doing her special dance of the flying metal machine. It involves a lot of spinning. Last but never least, on my scarf, the general of all the cockroaches, his massive orange shell shining like it has just been polished, his antennae flicking like crazy. All around us, in the dusk, are nearly 100 other animals of all kinds. An otter, polecats, pine martins, rabbits, and a very jumpy red squirrel. Birds in the trees, bees on the bushes, and under our feet in the grass. Too many bugs and insects to count. Hide them, says Dad, not taking his gaze off the helicopter. I look at him for a moment, not understanding. He turns to me and Polly, eyes blazing. If you want your animals to stay alive, hide them now. Go! And we do. Me yelling orders to my wild as they dive under bushes, disappear behind trees, some even burrowing into the soil of the flower beds, Polly grabbing armfuls of fallen branches to cover them. Even the brave general leaps off my shoulder and into my shirt pocket, folding his antennae away, out of sight. None of the animals says anything. They're too used to running, too used to making themselves invisible. And all we can hear is whoop, whoop. Now there's no time to even think anymore. We just have to hope they can't be seen in the dusk, camouflaged behind overgrown plants and creepers. The last to find a hiding place is the red squirrel, running round and round in a panic, until at the final moment, he shoots under a withered rose bush. The twigs and leaves are swept up into the air, swirling around us, clouds of grit choking my throat and making it hard to breathe. Cold spotlights beam down, blinding us. The rush of air forces us back. It flattens a circle in the grass, and Dad is ducking, pulling Polly and me out of the way. The helicopter sways lower and lower, and I can just hear the wolf cub growling at the back of his throat. And we can no longer smell the garden or the river, only oily fuel. The hot rotors making my eyes water as they grind past each other. The rivets in each panel look close enough to touch now. I am a wildness, a leader of animals,